right. BA started up. Let's go to a show where we're rocking all night. I got an army, wanna party with 30 extra guys from the dusk to dawn till our minds are gone. Hang out with hangovers and hit up a con. Houston, Texas, are you feeling the love from a giant rocket ship coming down from above? Well,
Space City Nerd.
Don't you know, well,
Space City Nerd.
That's right, we're the kings and the queens of the things that you deem absurd. Sing it with me, y'all.
Space City Nerd.
All right, nerdcore.
Got that.
Chip tune.
Got that.
Read the magazine to check out the podcast. Action figures.
Got that.
Board games.
Got that.
TV shows and video games. Yeah, we got that. Take flight on a broken satellite. All right.
Hello there, and welcome to the 80th edition of the Space City Nerd Podcast. I'm Jesus, and along with me is Rex and Ryan.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Internet. We were stuck in a time warp last week.
Yep.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. It was all swirly and stuff.
I don't know about you. I was given this screwdriver and was timey-wimey, whatever, and...
No, I was in a car with Vin Diesel and it was Fast to the Future. That was one of my favorite April Fools, actually, just because I thought it was good.
I got to see some serious shit.
Yeah.
What did you see?
Well, I went 88, so I got to see 1999 all over again.
Ah. Oh, man, what a year. The Dreamcast.
Oh, in retrospect, of course, everybody knows that was an April Fool's joke. And all that. We did some research on it beforehand, and 1999 was like an incredible year for all kinds of media.
For all media, 1999. I decided that night was my favorite year to ever happen.
Like I don't know if that's going to be matched until like 2999.
2099. Yeah, that's when Spider-Man happened.
Mm-hmm. No, that's 2099. That's when Spider-Man, Punisher, Doom, Ghost Rider, and X-Men happen.
Oh.
But no, it's like it was so good and so weird and so fun to do that with you guys. We had a lot of fun researching and just throwing the ideas out and everything, and we promise.
And we're like nostalgia junkies. I love
nostalgia. Yeah.
Which there is a new comic book shop in Clear Lake called Dimensions. Oh, in Seabrook, sorry.
Really?
Which I've heard that is just like an 80s store.
Really?
To the point where like they even sell vinyl, which is like 70s metal.
Oh, what? My god.
I'm sorry, Rex.
Oh my god.
Seabrook, you say.
So of I guess course. I'm going there tomorrow. Christ. Okay, I found it on Facebook. Oh my god.
Anyways. And then of course there's also a shop opening up soon. If any of you guys live in South Houston and know about the Lamarck area and know about the abandoned, or basically abandoned, outlet mall, there will be a comic book shop there also called Toxic City, in reference to Texas City.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, is it that mall of the mainland?
No, it's like a little outlet mall that's next to it.
Oh, okay. I know where you're talking about.
Is that still open?
Yeah.
Mall of the Mainland?
I think
Mall of the Mainland isn't open.
Oh, okay.
I think the movie theater is still open, but about a year ago, bad weather happened, like back in like January of last year, and things happened to the building. And
there's so many rumors for that building too. It's going to be in a casino. It's going to be like an adult entertainment complex.
Aww.
Like so many things happening.
Mm-hmm. I just want it to be Mall of the Mainland. I want it to be Mall of the Mainland again from like 5 or 10 years ago when it was mostly vacant and just weird to go to. And
yeah, maybe we could have used it for our Vaporwave festival.
I swear, dude, yeah. That's what it, oh my god, maybe we can ask them to open up just for a Vaporwave concert.
That would be so good. It would be the perfect place.
You never know. But no, it's going to be in the, I think it's called like Lone Star Outlets or something.
Okay.
Which I have a very good memory of because they had a KB Toys store outlet store there.
Sweet.
So this thing was getting things like, you know, Marvel Legends from like 1996 there in 2000. It had Nintendo games and like, I'll admit, as a toy collector, I wasn't one of those when I was younger. I was just someone that, like, I'm just going to buy a toy because it looks cool.
Yeah.
And now I kind of regret it, you know, because all these, like, glorious things came around. And they had such a beautiful, like, video game selection that I do remember. But, yeah, once again, there's going to be a comic book shop there. There's one in Seabrook. There's, of course, Bedrock City. Like, we're talking about down south Houston. I know there's, like, a ton of them all over. You know, there's 8th Dimension, Third Planet, Bedrock, of course, all over the city. What else is there? Mm. Ogre, Fat Ogre in the Woodlands and all that.
Oh, okay. I haven't been up there.
And when we post this up, if you guys have a favorite comic book shop that we didn't list or anything, you know, feel free to link them. We're always interested in giving, you know, props to all these comic shops that are out. You know, we love the feel of the 90s. I remember, like, in the 90s, there were at least, let me see, one, two, three. There were 7 comic shops in my area.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Which is amazing.
Oh, man.
You know, and if this trend is coming back, alert us to all these shops that are coming out. I know Chris Foreman works at All-Star Comics in Baytown.
Mm.
So, I mean, they're all over there.
I don't know if you're old enough to remember this. I'm old enough to remember this, Rex, but they had in the Rice Village area, they had an anime store called
Planet Anime. Oh, yes, I remember that.
Yeah, I never found out about that until, like, 6 months after they closed, went up there to go find it, and they were closed.
It was great. There was a Japanese restaurant across from it, so I'd be like extra weeaboo and eat there and then go to Planet Anime.
God damn.
I just went in there for Gundams, and that was it.
Yeah, they had Gundams. They had like Saturn games from Japan. Yeah.
The only thing I remember buying like outside of Gundams is Ryan, I just bought a Master Grade Gundam kit because I...
Which one?
A Master Grade Master Gundam kit. So.
Ooh!
Nice. Yeah.
So, I remember going there and buying I forgot what the character was, mm-hmm. but he was carrying, like, a sack of water or something to dump on, and mm-hmm. I gave it to my buddy because he had just gotten, like, a brand new, like, Lancer Evolution.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the first years that they actually came to the U.S.
Oh, nice.
And it was, like, a special edition and all this stuff. And he was like, oh, I like the sticker. So he put it, like, on his exhaust because the guy's cooling the exhaust.
That's hilarious. That's where I got all my Ranma 1/2 mangas.
And your hentai?
Yes, my hentai. And, like, back then when you read it American way from left to right.
Well, I mean, since we're on the topic of anime, Ryan and myself actually went to Matsuri this weekend. I was a little bit skeptical because last year I know they had a lot of negative press and stuff, but coming out of it, I was impressed.
They took the entire George R. Brown, which I'm very impressed that they had all that stuff to fill it with, and it was, it was really impressive. I haven't been to Matsuri yet. Like Jesus, I've heard like the weird stories. I've heard the weird stories of it being during the rodeo, next to the rodeo. So you had anime fans and cowboys mixing, and cowboys were leaning on the cars, and it was a disaster.
It sounds like a hilarious disaster.
Yeah.
So last year, you know, the Lolita community, excuse me, mm-hmm. is very big here in Houston, and also mm-hmm. they host a summit for the Lolita, you know, summit. Last year it was kind of a disaster, but I think they made up for it this year. I go to 4chan. Yes, I'm the scum of the internet, but I've been reading a lot on their cosplay board, and the Lolita community is happy with them this year.
Okay.
Which is one of the biggest problems.
You don't want to mess with the Lolita community. No. They will mess you up. I'm sorry, please don't hurt me. Hit with your umbrellas.
Actually, I saw some while we were there, I saw some really cool Lolita outfits. One of them, well, two of them had bats with them.
Bats?
And they were colored like pastel pink and pastel blue, and they had glitter, like what are they called? What are those things that call that you wrap your Christmas tree with?
Tinsel.
Yeah, okay, so they had like really thin tinsel around their bats that was all like glittery and stuff, and one of them had a jean vest on that on the back said, "I'm not your waifu."
Oh, that's awesome.
That's so good.
If I was a cute girl, I'd totally be a Lolita, but I'm not.
A tough girl Lolita.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they're really awesome. I was too intimidated to take their picture.
They were there, and like we took a quick break because we've been walking all day, and we were trying to get some drinks. And I walked by, and I'm like, there were this table of like 14 Japanese girls talking in Japanese, dressed in like elegant Gothic Lolita outfit, eating barbecue.
And the thing is, three of those girls were some of the world famous like Lolita models.
Yeah. I did not know this. I'm not very well versed in Lolita models. I think they look awesome. Maybe soon I can go on a shoot with them. But so I didn't know any of them. I'm just like, that's kind of cool. And I grabbed my Coke and walked away.
But I mean, overall, the convention was pretty awesome.
It was awesome. Tell us about the Teddy Lloyd concert.
So, all right, a month before Anime Matsuri came around, I started looking at Teddy Lloyd. He does a lot of the work for Panty and Stocking, a lot of their, like, soundtracks and stuff. But then I got into more of his, like, original music. I don't know. Like, if you were in Japan and you heard him, he would be, like, the Japanese Daft Punk, Skrillex, and
Skrillex,
whatever else, I don't know, 8BT, all combined into one. And he was amazing.
Okay.
Like, so I went to the rave, which lasted until 4 in the morning, which also, I don't know, I think raves should actually be 18 and up, because it was kind of weird to be out there, even though we had a blast with our friends and all that, Drea, yeah, I mean, that was on our anime.
You're out there in a kind of club environment.
I don't know. It's not a club environment when you're out there in your underwear.
Okay.
Which happened a lot, but...
yeah.
But no, we were out there with a couple of friends. Drea from Sentai Filmworks, and that was on our anime show, was out there. I mean, we had a lot of fun, you know, just kind of dancing around and stuff like that. Ted Lloyd included The Legend of Zelda into his set. He also included...
Evangelion.
Okay, he included Evangelion in his sets. Just a really cool, awesome mix of his music, plus some kind of like dubstep anime tunes that was enough when drunk to, because I was drunk, but it was enough to really like make the night amazing.
Oh.
Also, Ryan Rex, the DJ right after him, he did not haste into playing Darude Sandstorm.
Oh, good.
Oh, man. I would have a relationship with that song.
You know, we need to get Darude on the show just to tell him how much we love Sandstorm.
Yeah, Darude, please come to our show. We think you're Darude, we think you're awesome. Be on the show. Oh, and I know you don't know much about Evangelion, but I'm on Hunt of Rex. It'd be awesome if I can hear a dubstep version of Come Sweet Death.
Oh, that's my
the
god.
One. I think that's the one they said he played.
Oh, the tumbling, it goes tumbling down?
I'll tell you whatever later on after the show.
Oh, that's like my favorite song, because it's the happiest song that's about suicide.
Yeah.
But no, it was a pretty good... I enjoyed the con experience. A lot of people kind of... were miffed about, I think, time starting, you know, a couple of places were late by an hour or so.
I think this is their biggest Matsuri ever, right?
It's one of their biggest.
It's huge, I'm not going to try to, like, you know, take the bullet for them or try to defend them, but, like, for something this big, for them to, I mean, I can accept a few late things, because...
But that was the general consensus. It's like they delivered, even though it was a little bit late, so it's okay.
Yeah, yeah, you exactly.
Know? And Matsuri is actually bringing a lot of people that, you know, you're not going to see in town for years, or no. You know, you'll ever see because they're in Japan.
Yep. They yeah. got, they, yeah, like I said, I'm not a huge anime fan, but so Rex and maybe we can jump in, but like they got Trigger there, and which is like, that's amazing. That's
yeah, a, like, that is no, that, super amazing.
Now that was a big deal. You know, I wish I had the patience to wait 3 hours in their line, but I just didn't have it. So next year I'll probably buy a Super Pass. And also there's a lot of drama going on with the Super Pass.
People yeah, I was about just, to say hashtag Super Pass super sad.
Well, the thing is they weren't paying attention to instructions.
Yeah.
I mean, because, no, I actually went to the Ted, I bought a CD from Ted Lloyd and got him to autograph it and all that. And the Super Pass line was right there. Super Pass line went super fast. Mm. Like it wasn't even there when I was there.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, the talent there, they still have limited time, and they're trying to have the VIP experience, but everything still needs to go in a certain way, and yeah. schedules need to be met. I am super duper happy. I like spent a lot of money in dealer's room. Like a couple of months ago, I went to Bedrock and I bought like these small like little Sailor Moon figures, like, little statues. Like they're like they're little chibi, and thing is, I bought Venus and Artemis because I didn't know what the quality was. Because if they were anything like those little cheap Gundam ones, I was like, I don't want to buy them. But then like, I got them, I was like, oh, these are really awesome. Next day, I went to get the rest of them, and I got everyone except for Mars. And I've been looking for Mars forever, and I got Mars. In the
yeah, Venus we hunted so that happy. Down,
huh?
We hunted that down. Yes, so hard.
Thank you, Jesus. Which was. What's also kind of funny is I also got the rest of the for the figure arts. Mm-hmm. I had Venus and Mercury, and I need to get the rest of the main Sailor Moon girls. So I have every because it's Matsuri, I have everyone except for Mars. So Mars is always escaping me. Why do you do this to me, Mars?
No, I do have to say this. I am a huge Kamen Rider fan.
Oh yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I. If you guys don't know what Kamen Rider is, it's basically a one-man Power Rangers, and it's older actually than the original Power Rangers, which is Super Sentai in Japan. And I've never really fanboyed out except for Jim Mafuda Comic Palooza a couple years ago, but when I was there, I actually someone was cosplaying a character from Kamen Rider. I ended up hiding behind people because I was so excited about it. Like, it's never happened to me. And it was really cool because I eventually ended up talking to the girl. She was an artist in Artist Alley. She pointed me out to someone else that had Kamen Rider prints. And out of all of Artist Alley, there were only two people that had Kamen Rider stuff. Mm. So going over to the girl that had the prints, I talked to them. She was a huge Toku fan, which Toku is live action anime, basically. We nerded out for a while and stuff like that. Next day came around, I went by the girl that was like cosplaying someone from Kamen Rider, and she showed me her wares. I did not notice that there was like so much Kamen Rider artwork on her table. And Drea, who was on her anime podcast, she's also a huge like Toku fan. We actually got like everybody that was a Kamen Rider fan to like come around and take a selfie at that moment because it was just so awesome. And I felt together with my people. So,
that was really cool. It was funny seeing you nerd out. You actually ran off and.
I'm sorry. You know, it happens. You know.
I know, of course.
But no, I'm definitely happy with Matsuri this year, and I hope you know continues against at the George R. Brown, and as big as it was next year. I know, Ryan. We only went 2 days of the week.
Yeah, we went Saturday and Sunday. But I don't think we got to do everything. There's so much to do. We even went to the arcade. We spent a little bit of time in the arcade, but I finally got to play the table flipping game.
Yeah, we flip tables because in Japan, that's what you do at the arcades.
Yeah, we flip tables. And they had like basically the arcade that would have been my dream arcade when I was back in like 2002. It's like they had Rhythm DDR, games. They had Beatmania, they had some weird game where you push screens. Dude, they had like a musical gun game. Yeah. So that was my like dream arcade. Like, if I was in 2002, I'd want DDR and all these Bimani games, and I'd be so happy.
So, Matsuri, you get the thumbs up from us. We'll be back next year.
Yes, we will be back.
So, moving along. You know, these last couple of weeks, I'll be honest on the show and everything. I had a big hospital scare. For some reason, my blood pressure went from like normal to, oh my God, you're going to die soon. And I got so super scared. They helped me lower it. They told me we don't know what's happening either.
Which is always like, the worst.
Yeah, it's the worst. But, you know, they put me on medicines and all that. And ever since then, I've been trying my best to work at losing weight, to eat healthier and all that. In a month, for those of you that know me, I know I'm a chubby dude, but I've actually lost 10 pounds.
Woo!
Ace.
That is not a small feat. Congratulations, my friend.
Well, here, let me tell you this. I keep drinking beer. And I mean, I don't drink like, you know, 12 pack or anything at a time or anything. I'll drink 3 or 4 beers at a time, but it's a lot of changing my diet, you know, looking up for like sodium, carbs, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, even Ryan Rex, I know you haven't seen me in a while, but Ryan like looked at me, put on a shirt, and he's like, what the hell? Your shirt's like looser.
Yeah. Like over in Matsuri, saw you change into your Sailor Boy outfit. And you're looking a little slimmer there, and keep up the good work, dude.
No, I'm
you're considering an example. I need to lose weight myself.
Ryan, Rex, don't lose weight because you're already.
Yeah, no, I'm working on gaining weight because, like, God, it's been like weird healthier. I was sick for like the last, God, from November to around February, I want to say, and then I found out I had a gluten intolerance, so that's what I've been dealing with the past like month and a half, and it's the same kind of thing, changing the diet, watching out for, like, hidden sources of wheat and everything, and just generally making sure, is, like, on top of that, like, because I was intolerant to it for so long and kept eating it and didn't know what was going on, like, I've got all sorts of fun vitamin deficiencies I've been having to, like, work around, but...
You just have to, like, snort, like, Centrum.
What I've been doing is, it's been kind of expensive, but it's been working out. I've been buying Kind bars by the box, and anytime I like start to feel like my blood sugar getting a little low, or I start feeling like maybe a little hungry, I just like shove one of those in my face immediately, and it's working. Like I feel at the very least, I don't get like weird and dizzy or anything anymore, which is a good deal. But it also means I've had to stop drinking beer, and that makes me sad.
But you drink, like, gluten-free beer, right?
Yeah, I actually drank one a little bit ago, New Planet's Blonde Ale, which is pretty... It's not bad. I've been drinking a lot of them lately, actually. I was drunk all weekend.
So for people that,
gluten-free beer, all right.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, for people that are, like, gluten-intolerant, what are some of the brands that you kind of recommend?
The only one I found so far, because for a while, like, the first month and a half or so of this, I didn't toy around with drinking at all. I just kind of tried to reset my body. I actually cut caffeine out entirely, too, which is a story I'll get to later. But New Planet seems to be the best one I found so far, because their entire brewery, they don't use any sort of wheat products at all, so their brewery's very much safe from cross-contamination. And I also found a lot of the other breweries that do gluten-free beer, they just make normal beer and they add this oil to it that dissolves the gluten, which can be like good for some people. I found that I'm pretty sensitive to cross-contamination most of the time, so I haven't really messed around with those. But no, this one, the New Planet one, and they sell it at HEB. It's been perfect so far. I've had no issues. I haven't even had a hangover from it yet. And the first night I got it, I went a little overboard. And no more, like, awful hangovers where I sleep, like, the entire rest of the day the next day. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, no. Like, the thing with craft beer is, like, because it's so natural and everything, you wake up the morning like, okay, whatever, I'm ready to go. But, you know, maybe I know we have the beer and wine guy doing, like, our beer reviews, but as someone with gluten intolerance, mm-hmm. maybe we'll have you try a bunch of gluten-free beers and let us know which one is the best for you.
Yeah, I think that would be a lot of fun. And I've got some other ones that I just haven't gotten around to trying yet. I'm waiting to kill the new planets. I stoned that gluten-free one, and I bought some of those. And it's been a lot of fun. Like, it's honestly, Yeah, it's honestly been a lot more exciting than anything, because it means I have to go grocery shopping, like, every other day to find foods and stuff. And my girlfriend has been cooking a lot while I'm at work, and it's been mostly, like, fun and exciting to really, like, get into this whole world of, oh, hey, this exists, and... God, it's honestly a lot more fun than people make it out to be.
We're getting a lot into this because, you know, myself and Ryan were a little bit of the older generation of nerds. Rex is getting up there too soon. Yes, you're gonna follow our steps. You
know? We're all gonna grow up in that, Rex.
But you know, it's always important to check your health and all that and make sure you're doing good. This is a PSA from Space City Nerd. You know,
it's important.
It's not always true, but isn't the stereotype that, you know, people who are nerds
are sedentary.
A little bit on the exactly. What we like, we end up being sedentary. Whether we're at video games, sitting down watching movies, sitting down reading comics or reading books, we end up doing sedentary. So we do have to put off that little extra effort.
Exactly.
Kind of make sure we stay healthy.
And this is like the Clash is London calling, but it's, you know, nerd calling or whatever, but you know, make sure you guys check your health and all that. I mean, I know Ryan, you had a really, you didn't tell us yet.
So
go for it.
Yeah. Ryan and I both had stories.
So anyway,
hold on. So we have nerd related health stories. The only one that I can kind of think of right now.
Really.
No, it is. Wow. And sprained ankles.
It is from what you told us. Yeah.
The only one. The only one I can.
I was gonna say, like, one of my stories. No, I went to a spin class today. Most of them who don't know is it's a high impact full body workout where you're on a bike, and then they make you do crunches on the bike, and then you have to get weights, and then you lift the dumbbells up and down while you're going at full speed on the bike. And then they play music because you have to pedal to the beat.
So it's DDR on a bike.
It's DDR on a bike.
Awesome.
Actually, the first song was Chromeo, so I'm like, all right, this is getting really good. And then the second song was Bubble Butt, and I'm like, oh, fuck.
Was any of the songs Sandstorm, Darude?
No, if it was Sandstorm, I would have broken the bike because I'd be going so fast. and then the cool down song was like a Coldplay, and I was like, I don't want to slow down a Coldplay.
you just get off on the bike and leave.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't need to cool down.
Just
fall over.
But no, I'm
over. If they start playing Nickelback to cool down, I'll just fall over.
Oh my god.
Thing of which, I did not die.
The Nickelback.
I do it again.
Song.
It's not for beginners. I not in the best shape of my life, and I was like, this is insane. Why am I here?
Well, because of our guests later on, I've been tempted to, and I have it and everything. I'm going to start DDP yoga, which I've heard. Yeah, Diamond Dallas Page yoga. Apparently, it's a very high impact yoga. You remember Razor Ramon?
Yeah, I know Razor Ramon.
The dude was like in like drug addiction, like dying and stuff. And then he did DDP yoga. Now he's like walking around and stuff. Jake the Snake Roberts?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was
playing wrestlers that I still remember.
Yeah, he was on the verge of a deathbed, and he started like DDP took him into his home and said, "You're going to do this yoga," and now like he actually appeared at a Monday Night Raw episode.
Okay. Wow!
So I'm off subject, but I saw a picture of Jake the Snake, and it wasn't altered or anything, but all it says is Jake the Snake, S-N-E-K, and I cannot stop laughing. I cannot stop laughing. Okay, so real quick, I'll tell.
Oh wait, real quick, the new Earthquake figure,
mm-hmm.
From the WWE Elite Seekers, because you know I'm a toy nerd and a wrestling nerd. It actually comes with his snake and the pouch.
Oh, awesome.
So go ahead. We got to hear the WoW story.
Yeah, yeah. So earlier I told him off air, but I'm going to tell that. Like, I told him I sprained both of my ankles playing WoW. So what I used to do is especially when I sit on the chair for a long time, and I would sit on my feet. It's more comfortable. I don't know why I like that. Even if I just sit down on my butt.
Are you pigeon-toed?
No, I'm not pigeon-toed.
Okay. Well, I am, and I sit actually. Like that, so.
But if I sit on my butt, I will end up shifting, and I'll end up sitting on my feet. I don't know why it's always like that. Anyway, so I was sitting both on my feet, and I was playing my Warlock, and I was walking around. This is Vanilla WoW, by the way. I haven't played WoW in forever. And then, standard thing, my mom called me. They're like, Ryan, okay. So I was like, all right, whatever. So I turned around and got off my chair, like, immediately. I got on my feet. And I'm like, I shifted all my weight on my right foot. And I'm like, holy crap, both of my feet are asleep, and I'm falling to the right. So I panicked and shifted all my weight to the left, which my left foot is also asleep. And I fell straight down on my feet, and both of them are kind of like tilted to left and right because I was trying to shift my weight, and I fell on them, spraining both of my ankles.
Good guy.
Wow.
Yeah, that was great. And then I heard a thud, and my mom was like, "What's wrong?" I was like, "I fell and I sprained both of my ankles." And I couldn't even get up. I was crawling out to the door so I could yell at my mom from downstairs.
You know, it's funny. It's like I don't have that I can recall at the moment. I don't have I do have a nerd injury that happened to me one day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at one of my first Onicons that I went to. I forgot where it was, but I forgot what year it was. But it was
at the hotel.
Yeah, I was at the West Chase Marriott.
Yeah, that was near Beltway 8. Yep, that was where they had it before they went to Galveston.
To Galveston.
Yeah.
So I went there. My fiance and I were dressed up as Venture Brothers characters. She was Dr. Girlfriend, and I was 21, one of the henchmen. And I was like, I really want a LARP. And so I went into went to the LARP room. I forgot what time it was. It was like close to the rave. She wanted to go like dance and stuff. And I'm like, all right, we'll do that, but let me do this real quick. And apparently the moment that I went there, they had the masters of LARPing versus whoever wanted to come in. I came in there like maybe 20 seconds before the deadline was, and so they handed me a dagger as my weapon. I don't know how to fight with a dagger at all. You know, I'm used to like Shinobi where I'm throwing daggers out and stuff. So they said, you know, get ready, you know, on your mark, set, go. And looking at my dagger and looking at what I was dressed up as a henchman.
You're just a henchman.
The only thing that I wanted to do was to go forward and strike. So with my dagger in the air, I launched myself at one of the masters. The guy had swung early. So as he swung his sword, the metal part of his hilt ended up like hitting my face and my lip and just busting it everywhere. I guess, I don't know if it's the adrenaline or whatever, but I was like, I'm okay. I don't care. My fiance was freaking out. She was like, wow, you're bleeding everywhere.
Did the master realize what he did?
No, because I just left. I was like, whatever. I mean, to me, I was like, okay, I don't care. I'm bleeding. 10 minutes later, I was on stage giving the Vulcan pinch to some guy that was dressed up as Dr. Spock on stage for the rave. That was it. While my fiance was giving me like the dirtiest looks in the world. But yeah, I think that's my only like nerd injury. Rex?
Yeah, anything, Rex?
Okay, yeah, the story I was going to tell today, that's kind of a nerd injury. I'm doing it for really nerdy reasons. But okay, so as I mentioned earlier, I cut out caffeine pretty much completely. Today, well, it would have been today. If I had made it through today, I would have gone a complete week without like any caffeine, period. And it's been like a process that I've been working up to for a pretty long time. And I mostly did it to Because every time we go to conventions, I feel for, like, the first, like, 5 or 6 hours every day, I'm just a grump until I can figure out, like, my source of caffeine. And I'm real picky, and I don't like to drink, like, hotel coffee. So it's just generally, like, I'm a grump the entire time. So it's like, well, I should, like, and even when we're not at conventions, like, most of the time I need it pretty much as soon as I wake up, or I'm not going to be a functional person that day. I got tired of being a slave to it, et cetera, et cetera. And then, like, so today I'm feeling, today it's been a week since I've had, like, any sort of, like, weird gluten allergy thing happen or anything, and I felt, like, on my prime today, and I was like, you know, I should start trying to integrate caffeine back in, because when we go to Comic Palooza, I'm sure I'm going to want to stay up all night, and it wouldn't hurt to have, like, that little extra boost. So I got it was some sort of, like, weird antioxidant fusion drink from Kroger with, like, coffee fruit and, like, white tea and stuff in it with not that much caffeine, but I, like, slammed it, like, as soon as I got home. And then I wound up spending, like, most of the day today in bed because, like, I was freaking out because I was so over-caffeinated. Everything felt like it was going too fast and I couldn't concentrate on things.
Mm.
So I think I'm done with caffeine for reals now.
Awesome.
Harsh well, lesson to learn.
Like we said, just make sure you guys are in at least okay health conditions.
Yeah. Hey, make sure you're still alive so you can see all the Avengers films.
Yeah.
Till 2035.
Yeah, and all and all the Star Wars films, you got to be alive to see all that.
That's a lot of films, though, because every other year, new film, spin-off,
and all that. So be healthy so you can nerd out throughout the rest of your life.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, make an effort to do some kind of exercise, whether it's cycling or fapping to your waifu.
Yeah, that burns a lot of calories.
Yes, it does. And it can make you dehydrated.
Yeah, so drink a lot of water, too.
Yeah, drink a lot of water.
Speaking of, like, you know, being healthy and athleticism and all that, we're going to go ahead and go with the Legend of Chavo Guerrero for our song. That's by the Mountain Goats. It's Rex, talk about the Mountain Goats album that came out yesterday.
So I guess they announced it like a couple months ago. The Mountain Goats did a concept album completely about pro wrestling, which, like, at first I was kind of skeptical about it. Like, John Darnell, like, every once in a while, like, he'll do really weird concept albums, but they've always been about, like, I don't know, things that make sense for, things that make more sense than that, that could be, like, I'm not saying that pro wrestling doesn't lend itself to that sort of thing, because it does. I just didn't really have a lot of faith in it, essentially, and, yeah, no, he pulled it off really, really well. Like, it's really good. It doesn't grab me in as much as their last album did, but I really like it a lot so far. They did a really good job with it. The guy is a genius, and it's one of my favorite albums to come out this year so far.
All right, well, this is The Legend of Chavo Guerrero from the Mountain Goats, and if you're a pro wrestling fan, you probably already heard who our interview is with. We're really excited about this. After the Mountain Goats, we'll be back with Reality of Wrestling's color commentator, Brad Gilmore, and we're excited to see what Reality of Wrestling has for the future of Texas wrestling. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back.
Born down in El Paso, where the tumbleweeds blow, to the middleweight champ of all Mexico. Dad fought many bloody battles, and he raised 4 sons. Chavo was the oldest one. Old man Gory could pop like a live grenade. Raised his boys in the way of the trade. Hector and Mondo, young Eddie G. Chavo meant the most to me. Look high, it's my last hope. Chavo Guerrero, coming off the top rope. From Texas, seeking fortune and fame, rose pretty quickly to the top of the game. Defender of the downtrodden, king of the hill, tag team champion with Al Madrill. before a black and white TV in the middle of the night. I'm lying on the floor, I'm bathed in blue light. The telecast's in Spanish, I can understand some, and I need justice in my life. Here it comes. Look high. And on the West Coast, he was my hero back when I was a kid. You let me down, but Chavo never once did. You called him names to try to get beneath my skin. Now your ashes are scattered on the wind. I heard his son got famous, and he went nationwide, coast to coast with his dad by his side. I don't know if that's true, but I've been told it's real sweet to grow old. You look high.
So that was the Legend of Chavo Guerrero from the Mountain Goats off their brand new album, Beat the Champ. That one came out yesterday, right, Rex?
That came out today.
Well, we're going to release this tomorrow.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Never mind. JK.
And you can find all the info on the Mountain Goats, if you didn't know about the Mountain Goats already, at www.mountain-goats.com. One of the reasons we're playing a very wrestling-heavy-centric song is not only because I promised Rex that we would have a wrestling-heavy-centric song if he did this interview with me, but also because we are joined and very honored to have the color commentator from Reality Wrestling, Bradley Gilmore. Hello, Bradley.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thanks for having me on.
No problem. No problem at all. We're really excited about this, especially with what ROW has been like making happen here in Houston. And honestly, Sean, who's normally on here doing wrestling with me, and Rex actually live like two blocks away from the Clear Lake Civic Center.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, nice. That's where we are. That's where we are pretty much every month. You know, standing room only for this show coming up here this weekend. I'm really excited for it. We're gonna have Bret Hart, Ricky Steamboat in the building. So hey, man, if you live two blocks down, you gotta walk on down and check out the show.
Yeah, I literally could walk to this place, so I think I'm going to.
I'm going on Saturday, so we can meet up there and check it out. Now, let's clear the table for people that don't know about Reality or Wrestling. Can you give us a little bit about the history and who's behind ROW?
Yeah, Reality or Wrestling actually started as the Pro Wrestling Alliance back in 2005 when Booker T decided he wanted to start a pro wrestling school. And he turned his school, his students at the school, into a promotion. And about 2 years ago, there was a meeting had where we made a conscious effort to rebrand PWA and make it a Reality of Wrestling and make it a YouTube series. About a year into the YouTube series, we got television here in Houston on the Cube 57, which you can see every Saturday night. Make sure you set your DVRs for 1 a.m. Had to get my plug in. Since this guy has grown, and Booker T is at the head of it, along with the lovely Queen Charmel, the executive producer, Kevin Bernhardt. And it's an amazing group of people. We all get together once a month, mainly in Clear Lake, right down the street from your house, my man. And we put on a great show, and we call ourselves the flagship of Texas wrestling because we feel we represent what it means to put on a sports entertainment event or a professional wrestling event inside the state of Texas. And Booker T always wears the ring of Paul Bosch. For those of you who don't know, he is the most legendary wrestling promoter here in Houston. Ran, you know, the Sam Houston Coliseum every Friday night, 15,000 people in the rafters every Friday night. And Booker wants to carry on his legacy and his tradition, and that's what we're doing here with Reality of Wrestling.
And I mean, I know who Paul Bosch is and everything, and those are some big shoes to fill, but I think Booker's the one that can do that.
I definitely agree.
So, you know, this Saturday, there's a big, big event coming. I know about it. Can you let's impress Rex, who knows a little bit about old school wrestling, but that's about it. Can you tell us about Saturday night then?
Saturday night is a very special event here in Reality of Wrestling. It's our first ever and our first annual Night of Legends. It's the ode to the old school, paying our respects to the forefathers of our industry. When you talk about a guy like Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, former Intercontinental Champion, NWA, heavyweight champion of the world, put on what many people consider the greatest wrestling match of all time at WrestleMania 3 in the Silverdome against Macho Man Randy Savage. Both these men, Hall of Famers, of course. And then you also have Bret the Hitman Hart, the face of the WWE through the early 90s, and what many people saw as the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. We have the honor of having them in the building Saturday night, as well as what I feel, and I might be a little biased on this, guys, but what I feel is the greatest tag team of all time, Harlem Heat, will be in the building Saturday night. You can see them together, you know, here at Reality of Wrestling. And where else can you get three WWE Hall of Famers at a promotion here in Texas? Nowhere else than Reality of Wrestling. So we're really jazzed up about that. We have a lot of great matches. You're going to see our heavyweight champion, Fala Ba, defending his title in a rematch against the Mysterious Q. You're going to see Brian Keith, our television champion. You're going to see Ruthless Ryan Davidson taking on the man from Croatia, Mr. Mario Bacara. It's going to be an amazing night, and I have the best seat in the house right next to my broadcast colleague, Matt Topolsky, calling all the action. I can't wait for Saturday.
So, I want to talk a little bit about color commentating, because to me, we do these things. We're able to edit out, go back and do whatever we need to on a podcast. But when you're on a you're commentating, it seems like you have one shot to make that excitement happen. For you, how long have you been doing, color commentating?
Man, you're exactly right. We get one shot to do it, and we try to make the best out of that one shot. I started my job at color commentating almost a year ago at Comic Palooza last May. Before that, I was actually the ring announcer for Reality of Wrestling. And one day, Booker came up to me and said, hey, literally, it was like 3 days before Comic Palooza. He came up to me and was like, hey, yeah, we're gonna put you on color commentary for the show, so get some notes together. So I went home and I lost my mind. I started doing research on everybody trying to get prepared for that Saturday, or that Friday, rather. And it was one of those things to where it's like, sometimes in the business, in any industry, you kind of get that sink or swim moment, right? Where they throw you out there and see what you can do. And Booker gave me the opportunity. I took the ball, ran with it to the best of my ability. And I guess I did pretty good because I'm still around. He hasn't given me an axe kick out of the business yet. So I'm pretty happy about that. But you're right, man. We have one take to do it. Me and the play-by-play guy, Matt Topolsky, we go out there and we try to make the performers in the ring look as good as they possibly can. They do all the work. We're trying to convey what they're doing in the ring to the audience who's watching on television at home. And to me, it's a very, very hard job because, you know, when you're in a live arena and you got the people right there, you can do certain things. If you can tell they're not reacting, you can do certain things in the ring to try to get that emotion out of them. But when you're a commentator, you're not right in front of your audience. So you have to be on point and on the ball all the time and be able to try to get an emotion out of the viewer who's sitting on their couch watching Reality Wrestling every Saturday night on the Cube at 1 a.m. Make sure you set your DVRs. That's my second plug. I'm pretty good at this. anyway, I mean, so it's very, very difficult. So, I mean, over the last year, I've grown an extreme amount of respect for guys who are currently color commentators like Booker T, JBL, Jerry Lawler, some of the best of all time, like Jesse Ventura, Bobby Heenan, even Mike Tenay when he was on Monday Nitro.
These guys
are guys who really study, who know what they're talking about, and those are guys I model myself after.
I'm laughing to myself that you kind of skipped over Michael Cole.
Well, Michael Cole's a play-by-play. You know, he's a play-by-play guy. He's a little different from what I do. He's more what Matt Topolsky does. He kind of calls the moves in the ring. While a color commentator, I kind of fill in the story. I paint the picture for the audience at home. So it's slightly different roles, but I think Michael Cole, he gets a lot of crap, but I really think Michael Cole is really good at his job. I actually filled in the commentary table for a guy named Rich Brennan, who is currently part of WWE NXT, and he was the guy sitting at the table right before I took over. And to watch him right now on the WWE Network every Wednesday and get to see him do what he's doing and learn from the best, learn from the Coles, learn from the JBLs and the Booker T's of the world and the Jerry Lawlers, and learn from Triple H himself to learn about commentary and how to put together a match from a broadcasting standpoint. And it's awesome because I get to call Rich all the time, hey man, give me some tips, what are they teaching you up there at WWE? So I really have a profound respect for Michael Cole and for the play-by-play position.
Oh well, that's really awesome. I mean I do too, but sometimes I get frustrated with him, you know.
Well, you know, it's a different product. You and I are probably children of the same age. We like the Attitude Era. We like, you know, Gorilla and Bobby as well. We like Jim and Jerry. But it's a different age. They have the network. They got social media to plug. They're a PG environment. So it's a whole different ball game nowadays when it comes to commentating. And so sometimes, yeah, I'd like something different out of the commentary team on WWE. But I know what their job is, and I know how difficult it is. And if you understand the difficulty of their position right now, I have nothing but respect for them.
Yeah, no, I understand, you know, especially with someone with experience as you saying that, kind of puts things into perspective as well, too. Lately, there's been a lot of, I guess, a little bit more of a popularity coming out from professional wrestling, you know, due to, like, NXT surprising a lot of people, WWE being able to infuse themselves with a lot of mainstream media, you know, they've get rappers on there, they get celebrities from everywhere to come out. Ring of Honor is actually, you know, getting more attention put to them. Even, you know, on the more hardcore level, NJPW is like, you know, becoming amazing for everybody. And, you know, reality wrestling is it may be local for us, but it's still something that we can't ignore, to the point where you guys are getting another spot at Comic Palooza again. Do you think that right now professional wrestling is having some kind of a renaissance?
You know, I definitely agree with that, because if you look at the history of wrestling, it's always had its down periods. If you go back to the 80s, it was on a high with Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, you know, it was running wild, no pun intended, and throughout that early WrestleMania area. But then you kind of saw it slump off in the early 90s with, as much as I love them, but with the Bret Harts and the Shawn Michaels and the Diesels, business was at a low, and boom, it picks back up with the Attitude Era, and then comes back down. And right now, I think we're on that upswing again in professional wrestling. We talk about New Japan, a promotion who's in Japan, right? And then they put on a huge pay-per-view that did great numbers here at the top of the year, their first pay-per-view in English market, in America, and they did amazing. You talk about the Ring of Honors of the world, who are touring the country, selling out shows, and spinning off, you know, top stars like people you see in WWE today, Cesaro, Daniel Bryan, CM Punk when he was there, Samoa Joe, guys like that now entering WWE from Ring of Honor. I think we are at a point in wrestling to where it's a fantastic, fantastic time. And then you talk about reality of wrestling. When we just went to the Pasadena Convention Center, did 1,200 to 1,300 people to see the reunion of Harlem Heat, and it's going to be incredible. And I know after this Saturday show, which is going to be a sellout, then we got all our eyes focused on Comic Palooza at the George R. Brown Convention Center for the second year in a row. I'm telling you guys, reality of wrestling, this is going to be 2015. Not only is the year of the hoverboard, but it's also the year of wrestling.
Awesome. And I mean, it's like with professional wrestling, like, people are like, oh, you like wrestling, etc. And but I try to tell them, you know, if you read comic books, if you read, you know, novels, if you're into, you know, big stories, this is what professional wrestling is all about. And it's one of the most, to me, it's one of the most purest forms of nerddom as well.
Oh, hey, hey, you're talking to a guy, man, right here. I mean, I huge comic book fan growing up. You know, love all the comic book movies. You know, and you know, when you think about wrestling, is some people stigmatize it like, oh yeah, that's the fake fighting stuff from sports fans, and then nerds kind of write it off as, well, it's too much of a sport for me to like it. But it's really the perfect marriage between the two, because you Correct. Have a soap opera drama like a comic book. Where we know comics, they killed Superman and then brought him back how many times, you know, with the whole Doomsday thing. I mean, Green Lantern changes all the time. So, yeah, there are rapid changes in wrestling. So sometimes the stories are a bit off, but that's what you kind of love about it, is you never, and this is the one thing, you never know what to expect from a professional wrestling event. So you have the marriage of sport and Shakespeare, as Booker says, Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, meets LeBron James in that kind of environment, or meets a J.J. Watt. It's the best marriage of show business and performance, and then performance from a professional athlete standpoint. Because I'm no athlete, but I see what these guys do when they go out to build a ring, and they're able to figure out, you know, how to make it look like they're hitting the hell out of each other, but they're really trying to keep each other safe. It's kind of a sick thing, too. You're trying to beat this guy up, trying to protect him at the same time. And when you kind of, and we're kind of living in an era where it's a reality era, as they're calling it now, where we as fans are really into the backstage, what's going on there, and how's it bleed into the television show? Do these guys really hate each other? How are they going to protect each other in a match? So when you kind of think of it from that angle, it becomes even more enthralling to watch a professional wrestling show. Yeah, I think it's incredible. I think if you come to a comic book convention, you should also be coming to check out some pro wrestling, like you're going to be able to at the George R. Brown Convention Center when you come to see Reality of Wrestling.
And, I mean, we're obviously going to be there at Comic Palooza, too, so we're excited. I mean, it's going to be the follow-up to Saturday night, right, at Comic Palooza?
Yes, yeah. I think we're doing 2 days at Comic Palooza. We're going to be doing 2 live shows. It's going to be real fun. I mean, we had fun last year. Last year, I think we actually did 6 live shows. And wow. Realized we were way over our heads. We did not know what to expect from our first year. So, you know, the first year at Comic Palooza was like our first girlfriend. You're kind of figuring out what to do, what not to do, how far can you really go before she slaps you in the face. So that's what we're kind of figuring out with our first Comic Palooza. And this year, man, we're prime ready. We've been planning all year for this event. I can't wait for Comic Palooza. I know it's going to be amazing this year like it was last year. And Sting's going to be there. Sting is actually going to be at Comic Palooza. You never know if he might make his way over to Reality of Wrestling. Might be putting a rumor out there, but who knows? It might be true.
Well, that's kind of what I was going to ask, too, because, you know, Roddy Piper's also going to be there. So is Bobby the Brain Heenan's going to be there.
Yeah, the Million Dollar Man.
Oh, I didn't know Ted DiBiase was going to be there.
Yeah, that's what I read today, actually. The Million Dollar Man will be there, so... Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of guys there, and you never know who might mosey on down to Reality of Wrestling. And we always have people, you know, friends of Booker, friends of ours, who always want to slide in and say hello on a Reality of Wrestling show. Last year we had Hurricane Helms come by. We had the Boogeyman. Mm-hmm. So we had some people last year at Comic Palooza at our show. I can guarantee you we're going to have big names this year at Comic Palooza.
Awesome. I'm excited for that. So... this Saturday, I want you to plug everything that you can for ROW right now, the website, Twitter, information from Saturday too.
Gotcha. Well, this Saturday, it's limited tickets available right now. I believe we only have like a handful, maybe a dozen tickets left. Then we might go to standing room only. So if you're listening to this right now and tickets aren't sold out, you go to realityofwrestling.com and make sure you place your order through there. But also, you got to follow us on Twitter at the official ROW. And guess what? This is what really sets us apart. We're the second professional wrestling company in the United States to launch our own application available on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Get your official Reality of Wrestling app right now for free. It's a free download. Why not get it? And you get late-breaking, up-to-the-minute updates about your favorite Reality of Wrestling stars, events, and everything in the world of Reality of Wrestling.
So you know, ROW is another example of why Houston's such a beautiful city. So
exactly.
So, you know, thank you so much for joining us, Bradley. You know, I know it was like last minute that we got this together, but we felt that this was an important event enough to shake you guys down and say, come on to the show and talk with us.
Hey, man, I appreciate you for having me on. Anytime, you know, you have my contact, hit me up with an email directly. I'd love to come on the show, talk more about reality wrestling. While I have a minute, let me make sure everyone follows me on Twitter at Brad Gilmore, same for Instagram. And you can check out my podcast, The Brad Gilmore Show on Demand, new episodes every Saturday. We're about to start a Back to the Future retrospective, which I am so excited about. So make sure y'all check that out.
Awesome. No, that's cool. So check out Brad's podcast as well. And then check out ROW on Saturday or at Comic Palooza or at both events. I know at least some of us are going to be at there on Saturday, and the majority of us will be there at Comic Palooza checking out ROW. Well, thanks once again. We're going to go ahead and I guess Rex will play another Mountain Goat song because they're one of your favorite bands wrestling.
Which one?
Go ahead. I like some Mountain Goat music. That's like Daniel Bryan's mascot. Let's hear some Mountain Goat.
Yeah.
So we're going to go ahead and play Chokehold, and we'll be right back after this.
Diamonds in the firmament. All reserves completely spent. Someone set up the oxygen tent. Everybody here is real proud to present Choked Out. 100 dollar take off purse. Ask Nelson to suplex reverse. Worried look on the face of the ringside nurse. At one for once with the universe. Choked out. Choked out. Choked out. Choked out. I stretch and strain with all my might. Lift off into the velvety arms of the night. Kick and claw and scratch and bite. Fire up the grill. Everybody eats tonight. Choked out. No breaks down, an endless dark incline. Most of the boys won't ever cross this line. If they all wanna die dead broke, that's fine, that's fine. Everybody's got their limits. Nobody's found mine. Crowds screaming like hounds in the heat of the chase. All the colors of the rainbow flood my face. I lift right off into space. I can see the future, it's a real dark place. Choked out, choked out. Choked out, choked out, choked out, choked out.
So that was a chokehold once again by the Mountain Goats, because Rex is... That was Rex's like ransom for us to actually like plan like talk wrestling tonight.
Yep.
So, and speaking of wrestling, once again, 2 weeks ago we talked about WrestleMania, Sean and I, and we had a little rundown of like bets in the terms of whiskey shots. I kind of wanted to report to you guys the outcome of that. Ryan, you were my spirit animal.
All right.
I want to thank you for that.
Okay.
Rex, you were Sean's spirit animal.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably hates you for that. But during the night, myself, I went over to Sean's and we watched it together, and I brought like the heaviest bottle of whiskey that I had, which is like a 51 proof. Mm-hmm. And so I took the whole night one shot of whiskey. Nice. And Sean ended up taking 5. So you don't know how, you can't imagine how many times he was like cursing your name, Rex.
Oh man, I can imagine.
Also, right now Brad mentioned Comic Palooza. We're going to be there. We're actually very excited for some of the guests that are going to be there. I mean, it's growing. You know, it might not be like, you know, Stan Lee or Jeremy Renner, who played Hawkeye in Avengers. But we're all excited for a certain couple of groups out there. or group of names, sorry. I don't know, Rex, who are you excited about?
God, there's a lot. The mayor from Spin City. and Reagan from The Exorcist. And that guy from They Live.
So you have like these very specific names out there.
Yeah.
That's really so Barry Bostwick. What was the second one?
Linda Blair.
Linda Blair.
Roddy Piper. Also The Godfather and The Fonz.
So when we go there, I expect you to go up to The Godfather and do your Ho Train thing.
Oh, good.
Come get a ride on the Ho Train.
You know, if I pay for an autograph for myself, I want you to just take my place for 10 seconds, do that, then run off, and I'm going to apologize to him, you know?
Okay. We'll make this happen. What if I make a cardboard box train outfit cosplay thing of the Ho Train?
So you'll be a literal Ho Train.
You'll put like a bunch of Barbies in the back. If you guys don't know who he's talking about, there's a wrestler called Charles Wright. He went under so many names, but most noticeably is Papa Shango, who actually caused the Ultimate Warrior's death when he cursed him and made him like vomit. And then years later, Ultimate Warrior died. Then there's also he was the Godfather, who had what did he have?
The Ho Train.
The Ho Train.
Easy. And he had like it was during the Attitude Era, because of course it was. And he had like all these girls that came out with him, and he had his like Ho Train dance that I'm kind of like miming as I talk about it right now, because you can't not say that and not do the Ho Train dance.
So you mentioned Henry Winkler. Do you think he is tired of people asking him to go, hey?
Probably. Like, I really wouldn't doubt it. But then, like, I don't know how many of, like, the younger crowd, at least, like, would actually know him from Happy Days, especially after, like, Arrested Development and all that.
He actually stepped over a shark in Arrested Development, which was amazing.
Yeah, that was really good. That was...
Speaking of which, I think there's rumors that they might still make 17 more episodes.
They announced it on a podcast today. It was confirmed. Actually, sweet. Like they were on some guy's podcast, like from Austin, and announced it.
Sweet. More Jason Bateman. I'm still trying to make BaitCon happen.
BaitCon?
For my Jason Bateman convention.
just to host like a screening of like Horrible Bosses 3 or something, he'll come out.
Yes, or what was that BaitCon one?
2015.
Teen Wolf 2. He was in.
So, are we going to bring Henry Winkler copies of the Waterboy to sign?
Yes.
I want him to sign a shark. Like a plushy shark.
Yeah. A Katy Perry shark.
Oh, yeah!
I don't know. I noticed him more for help. Actually, I watched a movie with him not too long ago. What was it? Shit, whatever. It was on Netflix, but I was like, what the fuck? Henry Winkler's in this?
You should make him sign a picture of, like, the Castron community, and you're like, aren't you that old guy?
Oh, God. You guys are going to be like, wow, you actually watched that again. I watched Down to You with
really?
Freddie Prinze and Julia Stiles.
Yeah.
I was just cleaning, and that was, like, background noise, and he's the father in there.
Yeah.
So, we got to make...
I followed that movie in decades.
I didn't either. I didn't either until it was on Netflix. But I think that's what we got to do, is we got to bring like the worst movies that he was in.
Have to sign it.
So Waterboy, what was it? Down to You and something else.
Mm.
So those are your like top three that you want to get into.
Yeah, pretty much.
Ryan, it's your turn.
Okay, so let's pull up that list, huh? So yeah, I'm excited to see Linda Blair, because yeah, that's Exorcist was a fantastic movie. the Roger Jackson, voice of Mojo. I can't even do it. Mojo Jojo.
Mojo Jojo.
Mojo Jojo. But to me, he was way the most. Okay, second most memorable villain, because him was just so disturbing that you can't not think about him.
I don't know. What about the one they call him?
Yeah, that's what I say, him.
No, the one they call him. What was the Red Lobster guy?
Yeah.
That was him. That was his name.
That was him.
Oh, my God. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's the... Because he's just a creepy-ass villain. But, like, yeah, Mojo Jojo. And then, like, in the movie, didn't they establish that he was, like, also created by Professor Utonium. But, you know, then... But then stuff happens. So I thought that kind of added a little drama. But, yeah, so I'm excited... Excited to see him. And then Kevin Eastman. Absolutely. I mean, we
again.
Yeah, I know we met him over at the JR's Epic Party last year, around this time. Yeah, over a year ago, and just is really awesome guy. Really loved the fans. And what I really liked is that Jesushi gave him a zine, and he was excited.
I'm going to throw up if he says, oh, you guys are the ones with the Space Engineer
zine. Yeah, you gave me that zine last year. Yeah, we would all throw up. The thing is, he was excited because he has not forgotten that's where he got his start, was the zines. And he's genuinely excited to know people are still doing that kind of media, that kind of medium. And
the way that he started.
Yeah, the way he started.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'd be honored to talk to him again.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Rex was drunk that night and he just totally hugged him.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was also drunk that night, but it was awesome because he was doing good dance with Ernie Reyes Jr. He was like dancing up a storm. He was a one-man party.
Mm-hmm. I still have that vest. I'm probably going to bring it and be like, look, Kevin Eastman, do you remember Snow? You know? Like, hold him accountable for that. Yeah. I'm going to try to speak on behalf of myself and Sean, because I know Sean is very important to this show. I know for sure he's excited about Jeff Smith being there.
Yeah.
You know, the guy that did Bone, now he's doing Razzle. Mm-hmm. But I know, like, between... Sean has so much, like, 90s independent stuff, like Sam and Max, Cerberus, and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Bone. And so I'm pretty sure he's going to be pretty pumped up to see him. Joel Hodgson, you know, Mr. Science Theater 3000.
Mm-hmm.
And now they bring that up, I'm pretty sure, like, everyone's like, oh, yeah, that's something to go see. so I'm pretty sure I know he's excited about that. And I'm going to combine Sean and I's power. And I know we're excited for... Bobby the Brain Heenan, one of the greatest, like, mastermind and talkers of professional wrestling. Like, if there was a Lex Luthor, it would be Bobby the Brain Heenan. Like, if you watch WCW, you know, early 90s and stuff, you'll notice, like, the villainous person that the Brain was.
Yeah.
Also, you know, some of earlier, like, WWE he was in, he was just a great mouth. Like, he represented the wrestlers that really couldn't kind of talk and just made them evil, you know? Yeah. Of course, Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, is amazing.
I'm kind of excited to meet him because he was one of the people who...
Money.
Watched.
Yeah.
And I really watched wrestling when I was really a kid. And,
well, yeah. he was, like, the greatest villain.
Yeah. Yeah, because he was rich. Yeah, you made everyone hate him, and I had the action figure of him where you push the button on his back and he slams down his fist at you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very effective to all my other action figures.
And, you know, I'm actually hoping that he brings out the million-dollar belt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish, I really wish he throws us money, so, you know. He just throws just a wad of cash at us. I'd be like, thanks, Ted DiBiase.
And, of course, Roddy Piper. That, I mean, that's not just myself. You know, this guy was in They Live.
Yeah.
You know, he was in the, what was that one other movie that was in?
He was in Saints Row 4.
That too. That tripped me out.
The fight with Keith David. I was like, yeah. I can't believe they actually had this in the game. That was the greatest reference, I think, in the video game
history. That was. That just tripped me out when I saw it. And it made, like, three, like, so good for that. Was it three or four?
It was in four.
Oh, four. Okay.
Yeah, I stood up, and I was like, I can't believe they're doing this. And the fight actually lasted for a while.
Yeah, that was really cool. And, I mean, we're going to let's face it. Comic Palooza is going to be filled with a lot of, like, wrestling legends. Of course, Booker T and, you know, ROW is going to be there. And the ones that we forementioned. But a lot of people are super excited to see Sting. You know?
Yeah.
This is a guy that I'll be honest. When WWF and when it was WWF and WCW were fighting, I was more of a WCW guy because it was so stupid.
Yeah.
And it
Goldberg.
Like it filled Goldberg. It filled my ADD addled brain to what Sting had RoboCop as a tag team partner one day.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was amazing to me. So he's gonna be there. If you listened to the interview earlier with Brad Gilmore, he might have left off a clue, or you could see Sting. But aside from that, you know, Kitty Cook is going to be there. She's been working with, like, a lot of the Jim Henson's and My Little Pony stuff for, I think it's IDW, I believe. Please
yeah,
don't...
IDW.
Yeah, don't hate me if I got that wrong. But she's going to be there. There's also going to be Larry Thomas, who played the soup Nazi in Seinfeld.
Yep, no soup for you.
The thing is, So there is a the real soup Nazi, the soup kitchen guy or whatever.
Yeah.
Actually, it has a line of soups.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of want to take one of those soups and have him sign it.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, that's...
Which will be kind of horrible. Descendrus Vedric, which we've actually played on the show, is going to be there as musical guest. I'm happy to have him out there. And last year, we had a blast with the guys from Comic Men.
Mm-hmm.
Me, personally, I have a soft spot for Ming Chen because he's a craft beer nerd. Maybe we'll work something out with him. Maybe we can have, like, a night out at a brewery out here in Houston and hang out and stuff. And then the last two that really touch my heartstrings, Dana Snyder.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be for all of us here. Adult Swim was like the turning point for animation for adults in the U.S. I don't know. Adult Swim was so important, and Master Shake is like such a representative of the nerd movement beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I hope we can get we're able to talk to him. That'd be amazing. And last but not least, Walt Simonson. To me, he's super important. Beta Ray Bill is one of my favorite Thor characters. And that's the creator of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that... And he's got such a legendary run in Thor. So I honestly cannot wait.
Do you think we'll see Beta Ray Bill on one of the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Because that'd be amazing.
My Guardians.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. He'd be like, hey, I also have Thor's hammer. All right.
You know what would be? Chris Hemsworth is his name? Yeah. Chris Hemsworth is up to a couple more movies.
Yeah, that's true.
Might be a fill-in, you know?
Yeah, have Frog Thor, yeah.
Dude, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be great.
If the MCU decides to say, hey, we're going to have Beta Ray Bill, it's CGI and everything, but we're going to have a villain for one of the Avengers movie, I'd be down with that.
That'd be hilarious if they could actually pull that off.
I have a lot of action figures. I take everything out of box. The only thing I don't take out is a couple of San Diego Comic-Con exclusives. And my Street Fighter Soda collection. And my Beta Ray Bill Marvel Legends.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So I'm excited to see him out there. Rex?
Yeah.
We're also scheduled media guest at Classic Games Fest in July.
Yup.
Actually, both of y'all on three. Who are you most excited to see at CGF? One, two, three.
Richard Garriott.
Lord British.
There you go. Lord British and Richard Garriott. Give us a rundown for people that don't know who Garriott is.
He made Ultima. That should be all that you really need to know. He's also
Tabula Rasa.
Yeah, also Tabula Rasa. He's
really good at
it. Yeah, and also he's an astronaut.
Now, Classic Games Fest is shaping up to... It's in Austin, but it's shaping up to be a really good time to be. Howard Scott Warshaw?
Yeah.
Is going to be there. He is the programmer for the failed E.T. game for the Atari.
He also made Jar's Revenge and an Indiana Jones game, so...
Yeah, yep. He made something else, too, like, after that I cannot remember what it was. It was pretty okay.
But nothing is going to, like, eclipse...
E.T. forever. E.T.
I mean, documentaries have been made because of this game and stuff, you know?
Yup.
That's going to be July 25th to 26th in Austin. We are media guests out there, so if you come out, you can say hi to us and all that. Happening that weekend also is the Space City Comic Con. It's not affiliated with us because, I mean, I know we're Space City Nerd and that's Space City Comic Con. But it's the team that did the Houston Comic Con. They will be having a new convention coming out at the Energy Park, which is, you know, where the Texans play and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You can check out their website. They're going to be announcing a lot of people this week. Yeah, this week.
Mm-hmm.
So check them out and everything. And I think that's going to do us because we're running a long show tonight. Remember, add us on iTunes and Podbean and Stitcher, whatever you can. We are actually campaigning for 1,000 likes on Facebook. If you haven't already done that, and if you can help us out with, you know, sharing us with your friends, if you enjoy the content that we do, we'd love to give you guys back so much more. And the site will soon be filled with a lot of things that you weren't expected to be filled from us as write-ups. But until next week, from myself, Ryan, and Rex, good night, Space City.
Good night. Pimps up and hoes down. The hoe train. If it ain't easy. Pimps up and hose down.